Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and I will once again be flying solo this afternoon. Unfortunately, Father McKay is still under the weather. I've heard some stories about people getting this latest bug that's going around and taking up to 2 or 3 weeks to completely recover. So I'd ask you to continue to keep Father McKay in your prayers. We want to offer up a prayer of thanksgiving. If you get the diocesan news, you may have heard that Father McKay has been relieved of his duties as rector out at the Malvern Retreat House effective February 3rd. I think it was something he didn't want to do but needed to do. It was starting to really wear on him, and you can see it now with his health. So as of Sunday, February 2nd, I believe, will be his last day at Malvern. As rector, he'll be going back on weekends to help with confessions and what have you, but will no longer be the rector. And a couple of other moves as a result, Father Michael Davis, who's at Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Feasterville, will be replacing Father McKay. And my good friend Father John Wackerman, who's currently at St. Luke's, will be moving to Assumption BVM, where he'll be parochial administrator for some period of time before becoming officially the pastor out there. So all this to point out that we really need to pray for our priests and pray for vocations. Hopefully, in most of our parishes over the weekend, we heard about the Archbishop's letter regarding this idea of hubbing that he introduced and will take place over the next, I think it's 10 or 20 years is the plan. The Archbishop is really reluctant to close any parishes, thank goodness, but with a lack of priests, they've got to come up with some sort of plan in order to make it bearable for them to be able to continue to be active in their ministry. So there's I believe there's going to be opportunities in the next couple of months for the laity, especially to learn more about it and possibly get involved in the process. So I don't have the website right in front of me. It might be truthandhope.org, but it should be in the parish bulletins. If you haven't gotten a copy of it already, I encourage you to look at it. But most importantly, keep our priests in your prayers, and also pray for vocations, the much needed vocations. Just in the last couple of days, we've had a few more priests that have passed away in retirement, not active per se in parishes and official roles in parishes. But definitely the number that are passing on is greatly outnumbering the number that are being ordained. All right. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows me to be here on these Wednesday afternoons, hopefully providing some great content for you and helping you to grow in your faith. Father McKay, as I said, we'll be full-time with Our House Ministries effective February 3rd. We'll also give him an opportunity to do more with his work as a missionary of mercy, a role that he was given last year or the year before, September of 2023. But because of his role at Malvern, I was not able to do as much with that as he would have liked. But we will be full-time at Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. I invite you to subscribe to my Substack account, notsaintsyet.substack.com. Post an article at least every Thursday with highlights from the radio shows on Wednesdays, along with links to the recordings. We have a Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. 2025 will be a great time to make a trip down, as we'll be celebrating the 100th anniversary of Matt Talbot's passing on June the 7th of this year. Speaking of which, there'll be a pilgrimage that's going to take place June 1st to June 9th. It'll culminate with a couple of nights in Dublin to celebrate that 100th anniversary of Matt Talbot's passing. Father McKay and myself will be making that pilgrimage, as well as some others from Calix. And actually had a listener reach out last week or the week before. So if you're interested, please get in touch with me. You can email me at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. I was told by my friend Michael Murphy, who's over in Ireland, chatted with him this morning, that I should have the final details in hand either today or tomorrow at the latest, and I'll be able to pass them along if you're interested. I'll give an update on Calix after the break at the bottom of the hour, but just in case you missed that, just to let you know that the Calix gathering at Malvern, at the Retreat House, was scheduled for this Sunday, is canceled. And we're also looking to possibly move that Calix meeting back to Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media. So more to come on that. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the following is a prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us. And all the saints and angels, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't think we've mentioned it recently, or perhaps you're a relatively new listener, on that O Mary Conceived Without Sin, on the third one, we add the additional prayer at the end where we pray for the enemies of Holy Church. And that was actually written by St. Maximilian Kolbe and prayed daily by the Knights of Immaculata. So I'll let you know where that comes from. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we'll need your calls in order to make that happen. As of Monday, we have returned to ordinary time in our Catholic liturgical calendar, and that follows the Baptism of the Lord, which we celebrated on Sunday the 12th. Monday the 13th, it was St. Hilary, Bishop and Doctor of the Church, and on Friday the 17th, we'll celebrate St. Anthony of Egypt, Abbot. I just wanted to take a minute to talk about ordinary time. When we hear that, usually when we think of things as being ordinary, we think that it's like a plain, boring, just ordinary. And I was reading a little bit about it as we're preparing to go back to ordinary time this week. And one of the articles I had read mentioned that, you know, it's really We have a few different seasons in the liturgical calendar. Of course, we're just coming off of the Advent and Christmas season, that period that the church has set aside for the incarnation, birth, and really the infancy of Jesus Christ. And then at the end of February this year, it may even be March 1st, I forget what day Ash Wednesday is, but we'll begin the Lenten season. And that season will go for 6 weeks up until Easter, and then followed by Pentecost. So it takes up a couple of months in the liturgical calendar. And again, that period of time is set aside for us to really pray, meditate, and become deeply involved in the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord, including the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. All the other weeks of the year, 33 or 34, depending on the calendar each year, is what we call ordinary time. And it's during that time that we really, in the Gospels, we hear about the public ministry of Christ. We have the big gap between the infancy and the public ministry. You know, you could say it was 30 years or so, but you know, there's other writings that talk about Jesus as an infant. I even heard over the weekend, and listening to Mother Gabriel and my friend Peter talking about the early life of Jesus, where Jesus explained Louisa Picaretta how he gave his first sermon at the age of 3 in Egypt. And there's also references to that elsewhere in some of the writings that didn't make it into the canonical books of the Bible. In any event, getting back to the liturgical calendar, again, we have the time in Advent and the Christmas season leading up to the baptism of Jesus that's set aside for us, and then again, Lent, Easter, up till Pentecost. And all that other time, we were supposed to learn about and become more involved in the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And it's in that time that we ourselves can grow from children into adulthood, to go from our infancy perhaps in the faith to our maturity in the faith. And we get to do that each year. And so maybe you've already messed up your intentions for the year. Maybe you had a New Year's resolutions that we've already fallen on, and I forget what day it is, but there's some day people celebrate as the day that most people stop with their resolutions. But fortunately for us as people of faith, those resolutions that we make, we can make at any given moment, and even if we happen to fall down, we can get right back up again. And that's something that a lot of my fellow recovering people have come to learn. Often we felt that once we had fallen that there was no getting up, or we couldn't see how to get up, or we would wait for some, you know, huge thing in life to happen. And it doesn't have to be that way. We can restart our lives, restart our days at any moment, any hour, and go from there. And, you know, part of that, of course, may include the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance, where we, you know, can turn back, especially if we've fallen back into a sinful way, to make that sacrament and get ourselves back in line with our faith, with our God, and continue to grow in that spiritual maturity. I did mention on Sunday we celebrated the baptism of our Lord. And the one thing that I did want to mention, and it came up last week when we had Susan Tassone on the radio and we got talking about those indulgences, and I'm not going to belabor it today. It was a great segment in the 5 o'clock hour. If you want to go back and listen to it, you can find it on our website at inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, you can pick it up there. And you know, the availability of two indulgences. But one of those ways that you can gain that indulgence is by visiting the place of your baptism. and hopefully you know where you were baptized. That, I think, is an easier question than perhaps the date that you were baptized. And I shared last night with, at our Calyx meeting, we were talking about the baptism of our Lord and how back in 2013, after hanging out with Father McKay for 4 years and hearing him mention multiple times that he carried his birth certificate around with him, or his baptismal certificate around with him like his driver's license. And it took me a while, but I eventually went and got mine. I'd always known that I'd been baptized at Holy Cross in Mount Airy, having spent the first 3 years of my life in Mount Airy there on Boyer Street. And in June, at some point, it was probably around the 23rd, 24th, I called Holy Cross to get a copy of my baptismal certificate. And the date on the certificate they gave me was actually June 25th of 2013. But I didn't pick it up until July 9th when I called the secretary at Holy Cross. And actually then it was Madeline Sophie, I believe, had the records. I think they may be back at Holy Cross now since St. Madeline Sophie was sold. But in any event, the date on it was June 25th, and July 9th happened to be a Tuesday that year, 2013, and I was on my way to Calyx when I remembered that I had called and asked for the baptismal certificate. And when I stopped at St. Madeline Sophie to get it, I went inside, they had it waiting for me, and I got back in the car and opened it up, and lo and behold, I was born on baptized on July the 9th. So, you know, is it odd or is it God that I actually picked it up on July the 9th? But do you know what date you were baptized? What date that you were brought into the community of Catholic believers? And it was funny when I shared about it last night. A friend of mine who's converted to the Catholic faith much later in life, you know, he asked me if going back to visit the place of his baptism, which would have been in a Presbyterian church, would that qualify for the indulgence? And as far as I know, it would. As most may be aware, maybe some aren't, that people that come from a non-Catholic denomination, any of our Protestant brothers and sisters and their churches, we don't rebaptize people when they come back or when they come into the Catholic Church. They will receive the confirmation. But you know, we don't rebaptize. So the answer off the top of my head was, well, if we don't rebaptize, then that baptism was valid. Then revisiting wherever you were baptized, whether it was in a Catholic church, a Protestant church, wherever it may have been, should qualify. If not, certainly the church where you were confirmed, I think, would be in line. So it's got to be one of those two. But just when you go back to the original place, don't get sucked back in. You've found your way home, and we want to keep you here. So the importance of baptism and coming into the faith, I think the church, we're reminded of it every year as we wrap up the Christmas season, to remind us of our own baptism and how important that event was in our own life. And, you know, our engineer Patrick mentioned last night at the meeting, too, that, you know, every time that we walk into a church, we're baptized with water, and we may dip our hand into the holy water font there and bless ourselves. And that should be a reminder, too, of our baptism and the baptismal promises that we made. And as he said, I, you know, oftentimes do it out of habit. And it's a good reminder that that as we do that that practice each week or each day, depending on how often we go to Mass, that or visit a church for that matter, that we are reminded of our baptism. Speaking of how often we go to Mass, for whatever reason, the last couple of weeks, the topic of daily communion, daily attendance at Mass has come up. I was at a gathering on Saturday for a good friend of mine, Craig, who's we celebrated his birthday. And a mutual friend of ours was there, and in a side conversation we were having, had mentioned to me that he really wants to try to become a daily communicant. And I know somebody who made a resolution January 1st of last year and just completed a year of attendance at daily mass. And, you know, this is one of those things that when you, if and when you decide to do it, that just because you miss a day or a couple of days, whether you're on vacation or family things come up, whatever it is, that if you happen to miss a day or a couple of days, that it's not a reason to give up. You know, you just get back to daily mass as soon as you can. The other thing that helps is planning for that mass. And I've been as guilty as others sometimes in not doing great planning, thinking that the routine was going to take care of itself. And I'm blessed to be able to work with Father McKay and celebrate Mass with him a few days a week. And because he's been sick, kind of threw a wrench into my routine, if you will. And so we really need to plan properly. Our friends in recovery know that they're supposed to plan a 12-step meeting every day. Doesn't mean that you're going to get there every day or that you need to get there every day. But if the need comes up and you need to get to a 12-step meeting, it's a good idea to know in advance where they may be the next day. And I think the same thing applies for those of us that try to make daily mass, that if our routines get thrown off, if some sort of emergency happens, we oversleep in the morning, whatever it is that may cause us to miss the mass that we had planned, it doesn't hurt to know where other masses may be, whether in your local area or within the archdiocese. You know, one place to always keep in mind is the Miraculous Metal Shrine in Germantown, the Basilica there. They have daily mass at 12:05. I believe St. John the Evangelist in Center City still has an evening mass at 6 o'clock daily in addition to the noon mass. That evening mass, I may be off on the time. But there's an app that you can get for your smartphone or tablet. You can probably even, and I know you can access the website online called masstimes.org. The name of the app is Mass Times. And you can go in there. You can allow it to know your location or put a location in. And it'll give you a list of all the masses that day within a reasonable mileage. And I know it's come in handy, especially when I travel. I go to someplace new and don't know the mass schedule. That app is pretty accurate. But so it's one way to help plan your day and know where you're going to make daily mass, and then also a backup plan in case you can't make it there. You know, the other thing that I'll say about it is that I don't know anybody, and I haven't met anybody yet that has regretted going to daily mass. I've heard only, you know, great things about those that carve time out to go to daily mass and receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And now, as Susan Tassone talked last week, with this opportunity for a second indulgence daily, to maybe even make two masses a week. And we don't do that just to, you know, make the claim that we went. You know, we have to actively participate in those masses and be there for the right reasons, to celebrate the life and death, certainly the passion and resurrection of our Lord, and to delve into that as deep as we can at every Mass we go to. And, you know, I know folks may hear that about the two indulgences, and a lot of times we go right back to Martin Luther and the issue that he had, and rightfully so, with how indulgences were being handled at that time. But that was, you know, some 500 years ago. And here we are in 2025. And again, the church presents an opportunity for us to grow deeper in our faith. And obviously, those indulgences are not something that are willy-nilly. And they're certainly not voodoo. They're not a this for that. You know, you do these three, four, five things, and you automatically receive the indulgence. We need to enter into the spirit of that indulgence, and in doing that, I don't know that it necessarily takes the indulgence to have that official to receive the gifts or the what's merited by it. But the church certainly has defined that for us and gives us that opportunity. So between maybe in this early part of the year in January, if you've not considered going to the daily mass, maybe you don't have to commit to 7 days a week. Maybe do it 3 days a week. Some parishes, it's easier than others. My home parish went to a schedule a few years back where, you know, we used to have daily mass at 6:30 and at 8:30, and now they offer 6:30 mass on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and 8:30 mass on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. If you're still working and you know, want to make mass before you go to work, look for a parish that has those early masses. If, like in my own situation, you could go on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in addition to Sunday. Perhaps you're retired or work later and go to work later in the day, then you can make a mass a little bit later in the morning, 8:30 or 9 o'clock or so, and maybe try that just 3 days a week. And, you know, we tell people when they come into 12-step programs, you know, to give it a try. You know, try it for 90 days, and if you don't like it, that we'll gladly refund your misery. And I would say the same thing can apply to daily mass. Not that we're going to refund your misery, but you can go back to your old way of life. But I can pretty much assure you that if you make mass 3 or 4 times a week, that it won't be long before you're shooting for daily, because it just brings that much more into your life, especially if you're able to start your day that way. It just sets the tone for the rest of your day, and you realize that you know, you're living this life for God, not for yourself, that there's a whole lot more to life than what you see on the news or hear on the radio, you know, excepting in his sign Catholic radio, of course, that there's a whole lot more to life than what we see. And we can only find that, or at least I only find that, in prayer, and especially when praying at Mass. So give it a try. And perhaps in the as we come back from the break, maybe you've become a daily communicant or have been doing it for a number of years and you want to share the impact that it's had on your own life, I'd be more than happy to take your calls. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906. At 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We'll also have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, if God's touched you in a particular way in the past couple of weeks and you want to share it with our listeners, by all means, give us a shout. And we're not quite at 4:30, so I did want to mention, I should have mentioned this at the beginning of the show, two different retreats that are coming up. Kathleen's asked us to tell you about a retreat that she's doing with our Friday host, Monsignor Stephen McHenry. That retreat's going to be February 7th to the 9th out at the Malvern Retreat House. That one's going to take place in the Family Life Center and is open to men and women. It's a Rekindle the Fire retreat. $295 if you come by yourself or room by yourself, or $255 for double occupancy. That includes meals, private rooms, and the nice part about that Family Life Center is you also have private restrooms. Those of us that have been going up to the main house for a number of years, it's quite a benefit when you stay in a Family Life Center. We're used to having to walk down the hall to get to the restroom. But again, that'll be Kathleen McCarthy and Monsignor Stephen McHenry, February 7th to the 9th in the Family Life Center. I was just asked in the last week or so to direct another Matt Talbot retreat. That's going to be the Matt Talbot 66 weekend. That's May 9th to the 11th this spring out at Malvern. They have the Matt Talbot 66 group goes out twice a year, but they've asked me to if I would help them with the that weekend in May 9th to the 11th. I'm not sure if, because it's a kind of an independent retreat. I'm not sure if it's on Malvern's website, but I can definitely get you more information if you're interested in making that retreat. So we have reached the bottom of the hour. We're going to go ahead and take a short break. Give us a call, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the Scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and again I'm flying solo today. I ask you to keep Father McKay in your prayers. He continues to battle whatever this latest bug is that's going around, and hopefully he'll be back with us next Wednesday. Quick rundown on upcoming Calyx meetings here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The Calyx Society is a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." Father McKay and I get together every Tuesday in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. We start at 6 o'clock with adoration and mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, however, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where our Matt Talbot Shrine is, and we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7 o'clock. That includes the Sacrament of Reconciliation. We usually have at least two, sometimes three or four priests on hand to hear confessions. And we conclude the Matt Talbot Holy Hour with some prayers, including a litany to Matt Talbot. And then at 7 o'clock, we have Mass. So that's actually going to happen next Tuesday, January the 21st. And all are welcome. That evening, we pray for those that struggle with addiction, those that are in recovery, and especially the family members that sometimes suffer the most as a result of having a family member that's struggling with addiction. So all are more than welcome to come down and join us. The Unit of Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. They'll meet tomorrow night, January the 16th. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. And we will be meeting this coming Saturday, January the 18th. And the Unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning at with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And they will meet on Saturday, January the 25th. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that, and just to repeat, that the Calyx group that normally meets at Malvern will not be meeting this coming Sunday, the 19th. And plans are underway for possibly moving that back to Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media, where it was for a few years before it moved to Malvern. And in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Chris McMahon. And he's written a book called Faithful Finances. If you're Catholic, and chances are you are, if you're listening to the show, and you want to learn more about your financial well-being and how to align it with your Catholic faith, I ask you to stick around at the 5 o'clock hour. Chris McMahon, he's been on Fox News Business a couple of times and really well-versed in all things financial. All right, well, I've gotten no calls for Odd or God or folks that go to daily Mass. I'll give out the numbers one more time, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-34-FAITH. Mentioned at the beginning of the show the saints that are in the liturgical calendar this week, and since we have the time, I'm going to talk a little bit here about St. Anthony of Egypt. And this feast day is going to be celebrated on Friday. He born in the, we think, in the year 251. He died in the year 356. And like Francis of Assisi, at the age of 20, not that Francis of Assisi was at the same age, but the motivation that he had was when Anthony heard the gospel in Mark chapter 10, where it said, "Go, sell what you have, and give to the poor." And Anthony of Egypt did that. And before we get too far into it, we're going to go to the phones because we did get a call. We're going to talk to Harry. Hello, Harry.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
All right, brother. How are you? More importantly, how are you?
I'm on hold all the time.
I know what you mean, unfortunately.
Yeah. I was all set to get operated on Friday, and they didn't like my heart EKG. And so yeah, it's one thing or another. Now I'm on hold again, waiting for a room.
Well, hopefully you know that you got an awful lot of people praying for you, and you know, hopefully things will work out sooner rather than later.
Oh yeah, by missing, I mean, I got to do a couple of things that I had to postpone. So you know, it all works out.
Yeah, man. Well, I know you're a daily Mass guy, right? Or try to.
I try to be. Yes. And I came into church in 05, and Cindy and I would go on Saturdays and then Sundays. And then we joined Calyx, or found out about Calyx a couple of years after that. And I was going Tuesday nights. Then we started a group in Wilmington. They started a group. So I was going Wednesday nights, and it wasn't a big jump. And I was working full time. I started finding Masses like in the evening or late afternoon or evening. And it became a game to try to find a Mass to go to. Because it kind of reminds me of where I came from, you know, mm-hmm. what I wanted to become closer to God. and I'm in this 12-step program that promotes prayer and meditation, so I get to do it right in church. And as my knowledge of the faith grew and what's actually happening at Mass, it's like, well, they had that video that came out where it showed all the saints coming in to the Mass.
Yeah.
The spirits. And I think of that, like it's opening up when everything in the consecration and the heaven opens. And now that I'm a widower, I feel a closeness to Cindy at Mass.
Amen.
And the other people that I have lost through death, who were believers, and so I try to go. And and where I live, I'm lucky. There's enough parishes around, especially with me being sick. There's a 6:30 Mass. If I'm up, I can go to that. If I miss that, I go to the 8, or there's an 8:30, and there's a 9 o'clock Mass. It's not that far. And if I want to ride down to Wilmington's a little bit closer than Center City, there's a 12:05 Mass I can hit. So it's worth the effort for me.
Very good. Nah, it's awesome. And, you know, I remember after my mother passed and being at Mass one Sunday up the mountains and feeling like she was sitting right next to me. And I didn't mention that earlier, but it's so true with the communion of saints that, and Father McKay says it all the time that, you know, that that host is like a window to heaven. That we, you know, it's the one place where we get to, you know, bring together the whole church, and including those that have gone before us, and pray for those that are in purgatory. So a great reminder, Harry. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thanks. And thanks for all you do.
And thanks for all you do. Some of us get to do it on the radio, and others like you do a lot of that stuff behind the scenes. I can't imagine how many rosaries you and Cindy, but you continue that tradition, how many rosaries you've tied over the years. And how many people have benefited from your little ministry. So thank you.
Well, thanks, Ken.
All right, pal.
Okay, pal.
Be good. I keep
you
us updated.
Too.
And like I say, there's a lot of people that are praying for you. And I'm sure things will work out the way they're supposed to.
It's all in God's. It's all God's plan.
Amen.
You know?
All right.
We get to live a day at a time.
Amen. Thanks for the call, Harry.
Thanks,
I appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye
okay.
Now. God bless you. And we got another call. We're going to go to Bob. We got a couple different Bobs. Which Bob is this? Hello, Bob. How you doing, pal?
Hey. Good, good. How are you?
Oh, it's Fruitland Park, Bob.
There it is. Yeah, yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm freezing out here. It's in the low 50s. You
know? Yeah, that's what I heard. I was listening to a podcast earlier, and they said it was in the 60s. The guy was waiting for global warming to kick in.
Yeah. Well, I looked it up for you. Ash Wednesday is March 5th.
March 5th. Okay. I knew it was late this year. Yep.
I had to look it up. I thought it was March 2nd, but I was going to say, you were talking about vocations, you know. I mean, I didn't realize it was vocation. I was praying for a vacation. But anyway, in Orlando, it's just the opposite. There are so many Catholics down here now, and that they are building a new church and opening up a new parish in the Diocese of Orlando. Yeah, there are 21 seminarians in the graduating class this year. So,
yeah, you have to wonder how many of them are people that are fleeing the Northeast here. You know, multiple reasons, but anyway.
Right, right. And there's one old guy, you know, like a late vocation, you know?
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the daily mass, you know? It's like I'm a Catholic gypsy, so I know where all the masses are, you know? It's like I know mass from 6:30 a.m., 7 a.m., 8:30, 9 o'clock, noon, 5 o'clock, and even a 7 p.m., you know?
Yeah.
But St. John Newman has three a day, and twice they have confessions, twice a day at St. John Newman. Right. And they have a pocket. They have two parking lots. You know, 5th and Girard?
Yep.
You would think, oh, yeah, I can go to 5th and Girard, but where am I going to park? They have their own parking lot, two of them.
Yeah.
On 5th Street, North 5th Street.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mention St. John Newman. Same with St. Rita's. Has a couple masses every day, morning mass, and then the mass at noon.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Well, I try to tell my son he's got to go to St. Rita's because I use GPS coming from another part of Philadelphia I wasn't familiar with. And as I pass St. Rita's, I'm going to his condo. It says, you're 1,100 feet from your destination. I said, Joe, you're 1,100 feet from the front door of St. Rita's. Come on, man.
Yeah, man. Not far at all.
But that's it. It's like daily mass is like going to the gym, you know, except, you know, it's everything that you can do spiritually is free, 100% free, you know, so, and always available, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, you know, it's interesting to me because I don't know if there was a period of time where you didn't go to mass at all, but I know, you know, Harry that just called, myself, and a number of other people that I run around with. You know, there were literally years where we didn't get to mass, at least not on any kind of regular basis. And we go from not going at all to going every day. And, you know, what a blessing that is. And something that, you know, I certainly didn't bargain for when I, you know, hit the jackpot back in 91 and realized I needed to get some help. And I certainly didn't start out on this path thinking that, oh, someday I'm going to go to mass every day. But it's, you know, it's something that, you know, God invites us to and usually invites us through other people. So whether it's,
I met Harry McKay at the Coatesville VA hospital at mass, you know, daily mass.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
You know,
awesome.
And that's how Grace Ferry got stuck with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Father Doug. Yeah, he's. I go to this one church here. St. Paul's my home parish, but St. Timothy's is right up the road. It's at the front gate of the villages, and they have two masses a day. But they have this giant corkboard prayer board, and they clear it off on the last day of the month, and it's blank on the first day of the month. I put everybody up there. You're up there. Father Doug's up there. So. You got people praying for, like when you talk about Calitz, you say for just pennies a day, you can have these people praying for you. Well, they have seven masses on Sunday, you know, Saturday and Sunday, and they have two masses a day, and there's thousands of people who go there. I mean, they have 1,500 people at Sunday mass.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
So once you put it up on the board, it's there for 30 days.
I appreciate that, but I need all the prayers I can get.
Yeah. And in fact, I put it up by family now. Instead of just putting up Ken Johnson, I put up Johnson family.
You know, it's funny that you say that. So I had learned from my friend Father Wackerman, one of our Calix meetings, he was told us about, or no, it was in one of his homilies, talked about when we're at Mass that we can place ourselves and our loved ones, actually put, you know, place ourselves figuratively into the chalice.
Right.
And so at every mass I go to, and you know, as the offertory starts, I place myself and my wife, my four kids, and then I had some individuals that I was putting in the chalice. And I initially did it because it was a little bit faster, but instead of just doing the instead of saying Craig and Kathy or Paul and Ellen or Paul and Pam, I just say their last name, and it puts the whole family into the chalice. And
oh,
so
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
And
yep,
so
yep.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
That's the other thing. I used to put the whole intention up on the board. Like if somebody had cancer, I would put up, you know, I pray for remission for cancer for, you know, John Smith. No, I just put the name now because God knows better than I know.
Amen.
You know, cancer may actually be the least of that person's problems.
Right.
God might have something else. So I just put the name and let God take care of it. You know, you do what you do best. You know?
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So I just wanted to call in and say hello.
Yeah, no, it's good to hear your voice. First time in 2025, so...
Yeah.
Good to hear you. That's why I said Happy New Year. We haven't heard from you since before Christmas. So, good to hear your voice, and I hope all things are well there in Fruitland Park, Florida.
Very good. Very good. Yep.
All right, pal.
All right.
Thanks for the call. You too. God bless you.
Yep. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. So, the phone lines are clear. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. One of my resolutions for this year, and I started to talk a little bit about St. Anthony of Egypt, and it was in looking at him again this week, that he was really big on fasting. And it's like a lot of things in my life, I go in fits and starts, and I go from fasting 2 or 3 days a week to not fasting at all. And it really is a discipline. And so I still have that book, Super Habits, we talked about back in December. And the first habit or the first virtue that we really need is restraint. And I picked up on that. And so Anthony of Egypt was really big on fasting at the age of 20. He was moved by that the gospel that said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And he did it. He held on to a little bit of money for him and his sister. And then eventually he would give up all that he had and head out to the desert. And he just wanted to be there for spiritual healing and guidance, and he would provide that. He would get it for himself and then provide it for others. And when he was 54, he founded a monastery, but not the standard monastery. His would have cells that were scattered all over the place. I would imagine that they would get together at different intervals, but for the most part, they would all live out on their own. At the age of 60, he wanted to become a martyr, and the Roman persecution had started in 311 again, and he just, would preach and put himself out there, hoping to be a martyr, but that wasn't in the cards for God. And so at the age of 88, he would fight the Arian heresy, and then finally... he would die at the age of 105. So when I said earlier that he was born in 251 and died in 356, that was accurate. He lived to be 105 years old. And I'm always fascinated by the explanation of the artwork that is around St. Anthony. And it usually contains a T-shaped cross, a pig, and a book. The pig and the cross are supposed to be symbols of his warfare against Satan. Of course, the cross is obvious, but the pig representing Satan. And then also the book. And the book was to explain his preference of using the book of nature over the printed word. And by being out in the desert, you think that the desert is being, someplace that's just nothing but sand and arid, and it can be in certain places in the desert, but there's also some life there, whether it's cactuses, an oasis with palm trees, whatever it is, and there's always critters about that Anthony would experience nature. And I just know for myself that some of the greatest spiritual times I've had are when I'm out in nature, and for me it's particularly when I get an opportunity to go bird watching, something I haven't gotten a lot of opportunity to do of late just because of other priorities in my life. But for me, as far as relaxation and what have you, there's nothing better than being out in the woods or in a field somewhere, especially in the spring and the fall during the migration of birds, where you get an opportunity to see them in nature. So And I did want to mention that in addition to St. Anthony of Egypt, there was another saint, St. Mary of Egypt, more well known in the Eastern churches. And she was another one, especially for those of us that struggle with addiction, can look to, and especially those that may struggle with addiction of sexual nature, whether pornography or other things. And she herself struggled with prostitution for about 17 years before she too became a desert monk or monkess, if you will, and had a huge conversion in her life. We've got a few minutes left, and we do have another phone call, so we're going to go ahead and get to Nick before we go. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
All right, brother. How are you?
Hey, never mind the highlight is bird watching. The highlight is being with your groups.
Oh, yeah?
Right? Yeah. Then if a pigeon flies by, we could wave at it, right, Ken?
Absolutely. Keep going. Yeah, pigeons
show.
Can keep going.
A thousand times.
No, and thank you. You know, when Harry called, I mentioned it. You know, you're a real blessing to us, Nick, in your presence, especially on Thursdays for Mass and the conversations we have over breakfast. And I don't know if it's been a year yet that you've been hanging out with us, but that just a privilege to have you to be part of the group.
I want to thank you very much, but you better go to confession for lying.
No, not at all, pal, and you know that. We the bottom line is we can't do it alone, and so the bigger the crowd gets at Mass and daily Mass and breakfast, the more it benefits all of us, and so certainly appreciate it. Hopefully you got my message. Father McKay's still under the weather, so we'll be at St. Rita's tomorrow morning for 8 o'clock Mass before we head out for breakfast.
I did.
Okay.
I did get your message. And a rumor has it, he don't want to be with me. That's
why he's still under the weather. No, and to be honest, I did talk to him late yesterday and again this morning, and he's probably up for saying Mass, but, you know, sometimes people today, he takes one of those coughing fits. And people will be, you know, scurrying for the door. So we'll give him another week, and hopefully he can fully recover.
That's great. No problem. Thanks, Kenny. Keep up the good work.
You too, brother.
God bless you.
Thank you for the phone call. Thank you.
You got it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And if you need your car worked on, visit AC Auto over there in Fishtown on Frankfort Avenue. Great man, Nick Campione. That started hooking up with us a while back, and his brother Lou Campione, been on the police force forever, and still a great cop, is also the friend of the ministry. So thanks to them and Anthony Campione, who we used to see at daily Mass at St. Richard's before he passed, and the whole Campione family. Thanks, guys. We're just about at the top of the hour, and just on that St. Mary of Egypt again, if you get a chance, look her up. I came across her a while back, and, you know, at a very young age, I think at 12, she ran away from home, and she went to, she was drawn to the church there, the Mass at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. And when she got there, she wasn't able to enter. There was a force there that prevented her from entering. And she sees a statue of the Blessed Mother and expresses her sorrow for the way that she had lived her life. And it was after that that she was able to enter the church and then eventually would make a good confession and then would end up living out her days out in the desert. And it just gives meaning to all of us that anybody, no matter how far down the ladder you've gone, that, God is just waiting for us. So if you're away from the church, now's the time to come back. If you're already part of the church and only make a Mass on Sunday, try going one or two more days a week and see how it feels. And I don't think it'll be long before we see you at Mass daily. So we have reached the bottom of the hour. I'm supposed to be joined by Chris McMahon in the 5 o'clock hour to talk about Faithful Finances, a book he's written for Catholics. and how to set up your life financially. It should be a great conversation. Don't go away. We'll be right back.